Light beer, dark money. Agree on something. Politics, culture, and the intersection of faith, freedom, and free enterprise. And now, live from the Star Worldwide Network studios, here are your hosts, Light Beer, Chris Clements, and Dark Money, Sean Noble.
Welcome back to another episode of Light Beer, Dark Money. I'm Sean Noble.
And I'm Chris Clements.
And it is our three-year anniversary.
It is our three-year anniversary. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, Chris.
It's been like yesterday. In fact, I was at Grand Canyon University yesterday, and guess who I was with?
Robert Vera.
I was with Robert Vera, but I was with Avery the intern.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Our first
intern at Grand Canyon.
No kidding.
Yeah, she's doing great. She's like directing, you know, pastoral engagement for the seminary.
There you go.
Which is unbelievable.
Look what we did.
So faith, freedom, free enterprise, and faith has been what we're doing here.
It is hard to believe. The backstory on this, I did an appearance on Breaking Battlegrounds last week. And they're like, how did you come up with the name? I'm like, well, I wish I could take credit.
Well, yes.
And so if you haven't heard the story on why, Chris called me up one day and he's like, hey, have you ever thought about doing a podcast? And I had actually made it a New Year's resolution to start a podcast. I was like, actually, yes, I have. He's if you want to do one together, I've got the perfect name. I'm like, what's that? And he's like, Light Beer, Dark Money. And I was like, I'm sold. So that was the beginning.
Though I think I remember the lunch. You froze for a second. And then you're like, okay, I think I can do that. And because what I explained was, you know, obviously that's part of your past, a big part of your past of what you're known for in political circles.
And present.
Well, yes, but no one's writing a book about you right now.
Right.
Or dedicating chapter 8 of Dark Money to you or whatever it is. And Light Beer, obviously, huge part of my past, especially, you know, we sold a lot of light beer at Golden Eagle Distributors back in the day.
Yep.
But it's not really part of our present in terms of what defines us or part of our future. And also, it's a cool name for
it's catchy.
It's catchy, and we rarely talk about light beer, dark money.
Right.
We talk about faith, freedom, free enterprise, the founding principles of our great country.
Yeah.
And speaking of our great country, what a complete and total crazy world we live in.
We do. So I have a couple things that that are concerning me.
Yes, you said you were going to start off with a couple things, and I said, oh.
Yes. So there is an organization called Turning Point USA. They're actually headquartered here in Arizona.
They are. They have quite the facility, I understand.
Charlie Kirk started this organization, I think back in 2012, and it became very prominent as supporters of Trump during his first campaign in 2016.
Yeah.
And it's grown a lot. They have a big staff. They've got a huge budget.
And what exactly do they do?
Well, their original mission was to be like, you know, engaging young people into the youths, get the youths involved. And I think, you know, they have campus, you know, chapters and that kind of thing. But there was a podcast. They have it was Tyler Boyer, who is a part of TPUSA. He's also our national committeeman for the state of Arizona, for the GOP, state GOP. And I don't know who he was on his podcast with.
Tyler has a podcast.
He did the Turning Point Action or whatever has a podcast. So it's they're talking
as,
about how
the name is not as catchy as Light Beer, Dark Money.
No. So they were talking about a project that they have. They're going to chase ballots. Okay, so there's a big ballot chase.
Yeah, I've read
effort.
About that.
Okay, what was freaking blowing my mind was that he explained what they wanted to do was find people who typically don't vote that often, get them to vote, but to get them to vote on election day,
get
them off of early voting.
No.
And so they are basically saying, let's get all these people who do early voting. We need to get them to vote on election day.
No.
And I'm like, okay, that's the perfect way to guarantee you're going to lose.
Yeah.
I mean, no. I don't understand.
Yeah, these so-called conservatives who believe that there's so much fraud in the election system, especially in Arizona in terms of early voting, the issue is people staying home, not returning their ballots
right.
that are there. Now, ballot harvesting is illegal in Arizona, right?
Right.
Yeah, you can't like go out and ballot harvest, although the left does it.
Probably.
That's how Kirsten Sinema became Senator Sinema, probably. Arguably. Yeah. People have said that. But we've been doing this for decades.
For 30 years.
For decades, yeah, 30 years.
For 30 years. Up to literally until the 2020 election, where Arizona rocked. The Republicans in Arizona rocked on early voting.
Absolutely.
That's how Donald Trump got elected in 2016.
Yep.
And then in 2020, he started making all these noises about, oh, you shouldn't vote early. And the whole thing fell out from under us.
Yeah.
And we haven't won in Arizona since because we've taken the best tool that we had, which was get as many votes in the bank as you can, as early as you can. And then you don't have to worry about what happens on election day because you can have literally won by election day.
Absolutely.
You can have won the election
before
election day comes. And these guys are saying, oh no, let's take this 30 year track record of winning and throw it out the window so that we can try to do this election day only stuff.
And encourage these little old ladies and these people who are disaffected voters. They don't really, they're not engaged, right?
Yeah.
A lot of them.
They may or may not vote because it's
the ballot shows up.
It's 7:30 p.m. They're sitting down and they go, oh my gosh, today was election day. I forgot to vote. You know, that tens of thousands of people that do that.
Yeah.
But if you can get them to vote, you give them 30 days, put them on the permanent early voter list, get them their early ballot.
And make
and
them,
you can make phone calls.
And you can make phone calls and tell them, return your ballot. Have you returned your, because we know where those are. We know how many ballots have been returned.
It's crazy.
And that's the effort that should be made.
Exactly.
That's the effort that should be made.
It is how we have won in Arizona year in and year out since 1992. Yeah,
the Trump team is getting this all wrong. And in the blogosphere that there is, they think that they're getting it right. And
no,
they're going to lose the election again
because
they'll get outperformed by the Democrats who are playing this game,
oh.
know the game, and they will work the game.
We have crushed the Democrats on this issue.
Whatever is legal, we should do.
Absolutely.
We should do. Not dismiss it because we don't necessarily agree with it. That's fine you don't agree with it. It's what has been happening for 30 years in the great state of Arizona.
It is a classic Johnny come lately. These guys don't have enough experience in the electoral process to understand that they are cutting their nose off.
Well, how many elections has Charlie Kirk won? Charlie Kirk came out of the Leadership Institute. I know a little bit about this. And he throws a great party. But if it wasn't for the Leadership Institute, which you know my history with them, doing all the training, the back training of the Utes and the activists, he wouldn't really have much of a deliverable.
Yeah.
And I would continue to ask, Charlie, what is your deliverable? Because we're not winning the Utes right now.
No, we're not.
So what is your deliverable?
I don't know.
What are you delivering for conservatives?
And
other than bombast and accusations
and
everything
else?
All I
would ask, I don't really care what they do as long as they don't fuck it up. I mean, we don't have the margin of the cushion. We don't have the cushion of support in Arizona to risk blowing it up
we need to say,
don't vote early. Make sure you only vote on election day because we're going to have thousands of people.
The mistake of that also is, as you're seeing in other states during the primary season, is our side is motivated.
Yeah.
Our side is tremendously motivated. We've seen that in Texas. We've seen that all
Why
across the country.
Why wouldn't we lean in on that?
So
Here's
you
your
lean
ballot.
In on that.
Vote.
Here's your ballot. Vote. Do you have any questions?
Yeah.
Call them up. Have you voted yet?
Right.
Can I encourage you to vote?
Exactly. It just, and not only that, one of the things he said in this podcast, He's like, well, we shouldn't be doing early voting because we're telling the Democrats exactly how many votes they need to beat us. It's like, no, you're not.
How is this guy a national committee member? Well, and to a Republican Party, it's a complete mess, as we've seen lately.
I mean, this just kind of exposes the problem.
Yeah,
it exposes the problem. We have people who either don't have the experience or they're willfully just wanting to screw it up.
And I don't think it's a willful wanting to screw it up. They actually believe the narrative. They actually believe what they're saying. And it's because of their own inexperience.
Yeah, it's the inexperience. It's the inexperience.
They don't know how to win an election.
Yeah.
You know, they should read Stephen Shattuck's book.
They should read Stephen Shattuck's book.
Which I understand is under a rewrite.
I hope so. I have actually participated in attempting to rewrite, do the update many years ago. It needs updated even more since I did that about 15 years ago.
Well, Congressman Shattuck has told me that he is currently in the weeds.
That's good.
Of doing the rewrite.
That's good.
And I actually found a copy online that I ordered the other day that hopefully will be here.
Yeah, I have every now and then.
I did not have my old copy. I don't know where it went.
I have every now and then I'll hop on Amazon, see if it's out there somewhere, and I'll buy whatever.
It's about $25.
Well, it depends. I've paid as much as $40 for a copy.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. But I've got a few copies at home.
Yeah. But see, if the National Party, which just booted Ronna McDaniel in favor of, you know, Donald Trump's daughter-in-law.
Well, and to be fair, I mean, Laura Trump, but also, who's the guy from North Carolina chairman.
So. Nobody knows who he is. It's really Laura Trump who's running the show. We all know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just there for the back office stuff, perhaps. Yeah.
Well, maybe. So,
but Ronna McDaniel had a big week.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, so this is a good segue. Yeah. I like this because Ronna McDaniel was at the RNC had started a Bank the Vote project, which was to pursue early voting.
Yeah.
And TPUSA wants to undercut that for some reason, which makes no sense. Donald Trump wants to undercut that at the town hall he did with Laura Ingraham. He's like, well, you know, early voting is just fraud. So, yeah. I mean, he's got to get out absolutely of his own way. Now, luckily, his campaign staff, in particular, Chris LaCivita and Susie Wiles, the two co-directors of his campaign, know a little bit about early voting. Susie Wiles has been a longtime Florida operative, and Florida's been doing this almost as long as we have.
They do it the best.
And they do it great.
Yeah.
They do it great.
And it works.
They actually
one
do
of the
better.
Reasons why Ron DeSantis won as big as he did.
They do it better in Florida than we do it here because they have a cutoff of when the early ballot can come in. You know, here in Arizona, we allow you to take an early ballot and bring it to the polling place.
Which is one of the reasons why we have so much delays.
That's why
mail it in, people.
So long because in Florida, if it's not there by the Friday before the election, doesn't count. So that by election day, they've been able to verify the signatures, count the ballot, you know, so they're done.
Yeah.
So they can just release the early ballot numbers, and then they just count the election day stuff, and they're done.
And you can, if you have a funny thing about the mail and ballot tampering through the United States Postal Service, you can drop those ballots off weeks ahead of time.
Yes.
So fill it out, take it down to your polling system,
and
drop it off.
Yep.
Get your little sticker, and you'll be happy you did. Anyway, Ronna McDaniel.
Ronna McDaniel leaves the RNC, is pursued by a number of networks, gets hired by NBC... The on-air talent at NBC throws a hissy fit, all of them.
Joe Mika Scarborough. The philanderers.
Joe Scarborough, obviously Rachel Maddow at MSNBC, Todd.
Jen Psaki.
Yeah, all of them.
Like all operatives.
Freak out. And
Chuck Todd is such a squirrel.
What, four days later?
A weasel.
They
fire her.
They booted her.
And I hope she sues the living bejesus out of them. Or they settle out for a bunch of money. Because the sad thing is, really, the most damaging thing is that CAA dropped her.
Right? Oh, the talent agency
dropped her. And they were working on several deals with other outlets, ABC, CBS, and whoever. And what's so outrageous about this is that I mean, Ronda McDaniel really did, and she didn't do a great job. I think there's general consensus within the Republican Party about that. She's related to Mitt Romney, his niece. And she's probably one of the most milquetoast, middle of the road, you know, country club sort of Republicans there are in the entire Republican universe. And she's not a good enough for NBC.
Yeah,
I think it's going to backfire against NBC.
Well, I mean, look, and then you saw a lot of people say this is like this. Well, this NBC should never be allowed to do another debate.
Never.
And they should never be allowed to do another town hall. And I tend to agree. I mean, if you can't stomach a Republican as a commentator, it's not even like, I mean, yes, paid commentator, but not an actual like host of a show.
Well, and what they're basing it on, what I've listened to, is that, oh, she was an election denier. I'm like, and Hillary Clinton?
Yeah.
She's still thinking she won in 2016.
Exactly.
And Rachel Maddow, the whole Russia. Oh, and by the way, if you take that jab, you are Superman.
Yeah.
You know, all the misinformation that NBC propagated over the last 5-6 years has been completely debunked.
Yeah.
And yet they can't take somebody who probably took a lot of marching orders and was a good soldier and was just a good, solid Republican. It didn't run. I don't think she ran a great ship, but, you know, Republican Party is a kind of unwieldy beast right now.
Yep.
And she's probably the most middle of the road person you could find.
But, I mean, she's...
No, but we love Liz Cheney.
Okay.
Whatever.
Great. So then,
good luck
closer to home. Yeah, closer to home, a little drama here.
Oh, yeah.
Is
a nice segue.
So
this is great.
We're all about the segues here.
Lying NBC, and then here we go.
Lying NBC, and now we have Carrie Lake, the... One of the Republican candidates for the U.S. Senate is admitting that she defamed Stephen Richer.
Yeah,
and she did so in a filing with the court that said, I concede, I lied about Stephen Richer, I did defame him. We want the judge to do summary judgment in that regard and impanel a jury so that we can figure out what damages I owe him.
Yeah, she caged it another way, like the people of Arizona deserve to move on from this.
She doesn't want to say what she actually did. She wants to frame it as, oh, I'm not going to participate in this lawfare. Well, you got sued for defamation, and what you didn't want is you didn't want discovery.
Yeah.
So what's astounding to me is that whatever it is that they're afraid that they would find in discovery must be pretty bad, because why would you basically tell all of your supporters, we're going to fight this, we're never going to surrender, and then you're like, oh, never mind, I'm going to surrender. I admit, I defamed him. And
she obviously didn't record him.
I don't know if they ever had this conversation. But
they obviously didn't have a secret powwow at her house.
But this goes to electability, right? Yeah. I don't think this helps her electability, because electability is, you know, kind of like, who do you trust? Well, she's now basically told the world, I'm a liar.
Yeah, it's not a good look.
It's not a good look.
The problem Carrie has is electability, likability, and integrity. And those three things are going to haunt her throughout the election. Not that Ruben Gallego doesn't have his own issues, also with likability.
That's the thing, is that,
and that's the most frustrating thing,
right?
Is and I sort of stepped in it with our good friend Simon Rosenberg the other day, making a comment along these lines on his Substack, which is fine. But basically, what I was saying to him is, and his little cabal of people who believe everything he believes, which is, both of them have these issues, and how they navigate these issues will be really important to who wins.
Yes.
It will, the election will, I mean, there's enough people in that mushy middle where she needs and he needs to get elected to go after. The question is, do they have the ability to do it? And I don't know if they do. It's going to be, I don't think he's going to run away with it, but I don't think she has a path to victory.
I feel like whatever path to victory she had just became very, very more difficult.
Yeah.
Much more difficult.
And Stephen's crowing about it. I mean, everywhere.
Yeah.
And I don't think his path to victory is certain either.
Well, Stephen,
I think you're in trouble.
I would actually be surprised if he survives the primary.
Yeah.
Because and it's in part because Carrie has just eviscerated him at every chance that she can. And now
created doubt.
And that's been going on for so long that it's going to be difficult for him to say, oh, look, she admits that she was wrong.
Yeah.
It's going to be tough.
Yeah. It's going to be really tough.
She's destroyed his electoral prospects. But the thing that's crazy is that, and this is what she doesn't understand, she destroyed his electoral prospects while at the same time probably destroying her own.
Oh, the irony.
Yes.
The irony. She should read Stephen Shattuck's book.
Oh, yeah. You think that might be a good idea?
I understand she met with one John Shattuck, and he gave her some advice and gave her the book.
Oh, good.
To read.
Good. Well,
maybe, Carrie, you should read it.
Maybe there's some hope.
That would be great.
We'll see.
You'll learn something.
We'll see.
Yeah, how to win an election.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't stab everybody in the back after you meet with them. How about that? That'd be great.
Be nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Did she record you?
I'm sure she did.
I really want to hear it.
Well, I mean.
I've asked this question a couple times just because it's an interesting question.
I should have recorded it.
Yeah.
If I'd have known she was recording me, I would have recorded her.
Yeah. Maybe that's a scandal in and of itself. Carrie Lake meets with the Prince of Dark Money at the Collins Pub. At the Biltmore.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
news.
It is what it is.
Film at 11.
Right. All right. Well, with that, have a great week.
We're going to have another great week. Right. It just never stops.
That's never stops.
God bless.
Take care, everybody. See ya.